Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Good morning, everybody. I'll be honest, I could have worshipped the rest of this morning. I agree with what Graham said. That was just absolutely amazing. Look, it always is, but worship team, that was just brilliant. Thank you so much for that. It helps me absolutely when it comes to preaching the word because it just brings me into this place where it's all about God. And that's what the worship team, I know it's our heart, is about bringing the presence of God to us as a church every week. In fact, as you know, I'm a muso. I have been a muso for many, many years. In fact, I started playing trumpet when I was in year seven. My mum and dad tried to get me onto clarinet, but I said, no, I wanted trumpet. And I said that because clarinet's quieter than trumpet, and they're quite correct. But I said, no, I do want trumpet. Of course, Herb Albert. Anyone heard of Herb Albert before? That was our very first record mum and dad bought, and it was a Herb Albert album. And I heard this trumpet. I thought, it sounds really cool, so I learnt that. But so music for me has been a very important part for my life for a long, long time now. And for me, I suppose, to really encounter God or to get into his presence, whenever I hear worship, it always brings me into that place very, very quickly. And I love some of the songs Andy's introduced this year. It's been awesome. I suppose my number one song at the moment, my top five, would have to be I Praise the Name. I find that song instantly just brings me into the presence of God. And one of my favourite lines or verses out of that is this. Then on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. O trample death, where is your sting? And I love this last line. The angels roar for Christ the King. Is that not an amazing verse there? The angels roar for Christ the King. And I won't read it, but it always brings me back to Revelation 19. One of my favourite portions of Scripture, verses 1 to 10, where it talks about, I'll just give you one little snippet of it. After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are his judgments. The amazing thing is we get to do that one day. We get to stand before our Heavenly Father and roar with the angels and all of the believers and say, what an amazing God we serve. And we can worship him for all eternity. So that song always brings me and reminds me of that portion of Scripture. The other one, which has really had an impact on my life, and Andy, actually, we actually sang it this morning, and it has had a big impact on my life, to put it bluntly. Andy introduced this song actually to us as a music team probably about 2 months ago, I think it was. And we got to see the video which he presented to us as a church about 2 weeks ago now. And it's a song, You Can Have It All. It has impacted my life. I'll tell you why it's impacted my life, because it's a challenge. It challenges me every time I read those words and sing those words. And it actually opens up with, You can have it all, Lord, every part of my world. Take this life and breathe on this heart that is now yours. And it does challenge me, because it's easy to say those words. It's easy to sing those words, but when I've sat there and thought about it, I said, gee, God, I'm actually saying something pretty significant here. I'm actually saying, God, you can have every part of my life. And like I've said to you, in fact, my previous sermon was a little bit on, touched on this, Romans 12 verses 1 and 2, about being that living sacrifice. And so it does challenge me, but I like that challenge because that's exactly what I want. I'm sure many of you, if not all of you here, have the same thing. We want God to take every part of our life and use us for his glory and his honour. In fact, this song has been the basis of my sermon this morning. I had a completely different sermon organised for today. It was actually on the gifts of the Spirit, and about 2 weeks ago I was going to sit down and start sort of finishing it all off. And I kept getting brought back to that song and to that message Andy shared with us two or three weeks ago. And it just kept resonating through my heart. It also brought me back to an experience I had with God in church. I'm going to share that with you in a minute. During the worship on one Sunday morning and later on at Sunday night. And as I sat there, I said, God, what do you want me to do? I just felt God saying, I want you to talk about this song. What it is to surrender to God, what it means to give our hearts to God each and every day. Like Andy said, this is not just a once-off thing. It's a daily, hourly thing. God wants it every moment of our life. Surrender our life completely to him. So in a lot of ways, this message is really an extension of Andy's message he shared 2 weeks ago. Surrendering everything to God. I'll hopefully do that other message another time. But like I said, this message comes with a word and an experience I have with God in church. I want to share that with you. But I have a question. Actually, before I share that question with you, I don't believe that song was just a coincidence in the timing Andy shared it. I think it's a song because God wants us to consider that right now at this time, at this place, for us as a church and for us individually. I think the timing, because this is what God wants to say. So I do have a question for you now. Will we let God have it all? Think about that for a second. Will you let God have it all? Will you say to God, take this heart which is now yours? That's not an easy question to necessarily answer straight away, because we live in a society, and I've said this before, where it's the exact opposite. It's all about us. But when we say to God, you take it all, it takes the focus off on us, off us, and puts it back onto our Heavenly Father. Let's pray. God, I thank you. I thank you that, Father, we can come as a church this morning once again and worship your name. We can come and stand freely before your throne because of your grace, which was extended to us through your Son, Jesus, and through his death on the cross. I pray that, God, this morning, the word you have me to say, Lord, you've challenged me with this. I pray that, God, it would challenge all of us to respond both as an individual but also as a church. God, this church was built for your glory. This church is built to extend your kingdom into our community, into the wider community. Father, I pray that, Lord, this morning, as we respond to this word, as we weigh up this word this morning, will we let you have it all? That, God, we would say, yes, Father, we will. Yes, God, we will lay down our lives before your throne. And that, God, I know in that comes the victory. And we thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of weeks ago during worship, near the end of it, I looked up above the congregation. I was just sitting at the back up there, and I saw this white cloud. And as I looked at the cloud, I saw these two eyes peering down from the cloud. And the eyes were basically moving around in very random patterns, not in a set pattern, just a random pattern. And as I looked at the cloud, I instantly realised it was the Holy Spirit. And so I sat there, or stood there, waiting to hopefully hear God say something, but it didn't. He didn't say anything more. I just saw this cloud. And I thought, okay. Later on that day or that night, near the end of the sermon or the message on Sunday night, I think Graham was speaking, all of a sudden I started to feel the Holy Spirit stirring within me. I thought, okay, God wants to say something. Didn't happen then, it happened in the way home in the car. I always find God's timing of things, it never is predictable. God will speak whenever he wants to speak. Let's learn to listen and respond when he does. And I went home and I sat down at my desk and started to write. And this is the word which I think then brought sense to what I saw in the morning with the white cloud, the Holy Spirit, and those eyes moving over us as a congregation watching. And this is what I heard, I believe God spoke to me. For my eyes are searching over the land, my land, seeking and looking for people, for a church that will stand for the truth of my word. You have been challenged this year and of late to redig the spiritual wells of the past, to fear my name once again in awe and wonder, to lay down your life as a living sacrifice, to not allow fear to steal the truth and power of my gospel, and the truth and liberty of your salvation. My eyes are on you right now, church. My eyes are on you both collectively and as an individual. And I have some questions and a challenge for you. Will you be my church that will seek me in prayer and worship? Will you be my church that will be a light to this city and to this nation? And this is the challenge I believe God wants me to give all of us this morning. Will you lay down your life unconditionally? Know this, if you say, yes, Lord, here we are, then I will respond with my cloud of glory that will descend upon you. You will see signs and wonders, and you'll see my glory in all its fullness. This will cost you. It will cost you everything. But what you gain will far surpass what you will give up. I'll say that again, but what you gain will far surpass what you give up. Now is the time of salvation for this land. Now is the time for the truth of my gospel to be proclaimed through my church, through you, my sons and daughters. And I felt I had to really emphasise this last part. Now is the time to seek me in prayer and worship on your hands and knees. Then it finished with this one line, now is the time. Matthew 16, verses 24 to 27 says this. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses a life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Like that song, You Can Have It All, that portion of scripture has always challenged me. Because once again, it talks about taking up our cross and following God. But I believe that's what God wants me to challenge us with this morning. Will we take up our cross? Whatever that cross looks like for you, will you take that cross up and follow God, surrender everything? So why would God or Jesus challenge us with that portion of scripture? And how do we respond to this? Because sometimes I wonder, well, God, how do I actually respond to this? We always have to remember the cross represents our redemption back with God. That cross allowed us to come back into a relationship with God. That cross also represents the complete demise and defeat of the enemy. We must never forget that. We actually stand against the enemy which has already been defeated on our behalf. And that cross also, as we know, represents the amazing grace we live under. I was talking about this with Ross during the week. I think we sometimes still underestimate what that grace looks like in our lives. That grace is amazing. So what does it mean to actually take up your cross? I've just got a few points here I'd like to share with you. The first one is this. Means surrendering all to Jesus and dying to self. What greater example did we have than Jesus himself who died on the cross for us? Completely blameless, completely holy, perfect, the Son of the living God, the King of kings and Lord of lords, and yet he surrendered everything on behalf of us. There's no greater example than that. In fact, I think we sung about it this morning. There is no greater example. I think sometimes, though, we struggle with surrender because we look at surrendering in the negative. When we think of surrendering, my instant thought is, I've been defeated. Or I've lost. Or someone stronger than me has overpowered me, I have to surrender to them. But we have to remember, surrendering in the context of our relationship with God is the complete opposite. Surrendering to God actually means victory. It means complete victory in the name of Jesus becomes a part of our life from that moment forth. We're not defeated, we're actually victorious because of what Jesus did. So when we surrender to God, we're actually saying, God, I'm now going to live in victory. I'm now going to live in the plans and the purposes that you've called me to. I'm going to now live under the blessings that your word speaks about each and every day. I'm now going to live in the victory over the enemy. He now no longer has any effect over me. He will try. He'll try to oppress, but I have complete victory over him and the authority over him. And he has to listen. Why? Because we have the mark of Jesus on our life. And because we speak the word of God and the Holy Spirit dwells within us. So surrendering is not defeat. It's the exact opposite. It's victory. I know there's times in life we don't feel that, but that's what the word of God says, and the word of God will never fail. So surrendering in a practical sense sometimes does, or not sometimes, it means no longer doing things in my own strength. That's something I've had to learn and still learning. What it is to do things not in my strength but in God's. Surrendering not to my wisdom but to God's wisdom. Using his wisdom through his word. Surrendering all of my heart, not just a portion of it. Not 99% of it, every part of my heart. I said this with you last time, that's something God has particularly challenged me on this year. Surrendering everything to him. He said that to me in February. Mike, surrender everything to me. And he's used this year and he's shown in my life, different parts of my life and my heart where sometimes I haven't. I've tried to keep that control. Interesting, the thing I've found over the years, I'm sure many of you will testify to this too, the more I've surrendered to God, the freer I've become. And that's so true. The more we surrender, the freer we become. And in fact, I think there was a line in the song this morning, the chains are broken. And I experienced that when rejection was broken off my life last year. The chains of rejection were broken. And I was free. I've never felt rejection from that moment forth. And that happened all behind the wheel of my car. It was okay, I was driving safely, but it was behind the wheel of my car. I've actually decided, I think I might go and get a steering wheel and tape it or strap it to my desk at home. It seems to me every time I sit behind the wheel, God speaks. So I think that's maybe the part of the key for me. My wife wouldn't let me anyway. It means the words which we sung this morning. You can have it all, Lord, every part of my world. Take this life and breathe on this heart that is now yours. Oh, the joy I found surrendering my crowns. I'm going to change it slightly. Hope it's okay. Oh, the freedom I found surrendering my crowns at the feet of the King who surrendered everything. Taking up your cross also means laying down your life for God. It means saying, God, it's not my hopes, it's not my dreams I want to live by. I want to live everything according to you. I want to live my life according to what you have for me. I'll be honest, there's been times in my life, I'm sure many here as well, where I've been confused and where God's been leading me. I've been unsure. God, what's the next step look like? I don't know. I'll be honest, it frustrates me sometimes. But God does. And I have to keep coming back to God. It's not my will, but your will. It's your life I want to live, not according to my thoughts. It also means humbling yourself before God. When you take up your cross, you need to humble yourself before our God. Once again, Jesus, the Son of God, the King of kings and Lord of lords, humbled himself before his accusers. He could have, with one word, cut them down. He could have, with just the wave of his hand, done whatever he wanted. He had all authority, all power. Yet he humbled himself and remained silent. Taking up your cross means saying to God, not my will, but your will be done. And once again, Jesus was a perfect example of that. On the night Jesus was about to be betrayed and be crucified, he said these words, Luke 22:42, my Father, if it be possible, may this cup be taken from me, that not as I will, but as your will be done. He knew what he was about to experience. And I'm sure he felt every stress as a human. Jesus was both human and divine at the same time. Yet I'm sure he felt the stress of what was about to happen. Yet he said, not my will, but your will be done. Taking up your cross means serving God with the call he's placed on each of our lives. Jesus' ultimate call for him was to die on the cross for us. And he did that. In fact, once again, the words of the song have it all. It says, there is no greater call than giving you my all. I lay it all down. I lay it all down. And I think that's so true. There is no greater call than giving God everything. It's funny this when they talk about the call. I've grown up in church, as you know, all my life. And I'm not sure if they still talk like this, but often I've heard people say, oh, that person has a real call on their life. Or that person has a real call on their life. In fact, I used to talk like that for a while. Oh yes, that person, I can really see they have a real call on their life. And then one day I stopped and thought about that for a minute. What does that actually mean? Then I realised, no, you don't have a real call on your life. Yes, you have a call in life just like everybody else does. We all have a call in our life. Our call might look different to other people, and it's meant to because if we all did the same thing, nothing would be done. But we all have a call in our life. And I don't care how you feel this morning, you still have a call on your life. I do care how you feel, but you know what I mean. If you feel like I'm not good enough, yep, I understand that. And God can come and minister to that, but you still have a call in your life. You might say, I'm only 10 years of age. You still have a call on your life. You'll grow into that call as you mature and as you develop, but you still have a call. And guess what? I've said this to you guys before. Even if you're 80, you still have a call on your life. There's no use by dating God. And I'm sure all of you would agree, and I've only been in the church for about 4 or 5 years now, but I'll be really honest here, Pastor, how you do inspire me. A man 99 years of age still stands up here and does what God's called him to do. And every time he speaks, we listen because there's a man of wisdom who can talk the talk and walk the walk. Don't ever give up on the call God has for you. It's just as real today as it was when you first became a Christian. Regardless of the circumstances which surround you, God has a call on your life. Find that call and serve it with all the passion you have within you. And then taking up your cross means we will be rewarded by God. Verse 27 of that portion I've just read then says this: "For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with all his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done." God will reward us as we fulfill what he's called us to. He will reward us. He wants to bless us. I wasn't here last week. I couldn't come last Sunday morning. I understand Graham's preached a great word. I still don't need to listen to it on the blessings of God. God wants to bless his children. Yes, sometimes we sort of wonder, where is this blessing, God? Because life can be very confusing. It can be very contradictory. But the truth is still there. He wants to reward his children. And when you take up your cross and follow him, he will reward. Taking up your cross means we do it as an act of worship before God. It is an act of worship to take up your cross. Because there's some days we don't feel like doing it. There's some days we think, God, I don't want to have to do this today. But when we do it as an act of worship before our Father. In Romans 12 verse 1, this is exactly the portion of scripture I shared on last time I spoke. It says this: "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." That's the worship God's looking for when we lay down our life, take up our cross and follow him. When we be that living sacrifice he's called us to be. Yeah, sometimes it's hard. Some days are a lot harder. But like that word says, it costs everything, but what we give up will never ever come close to what God will bring back into our lives. We can never outdo God. Never. These last two points I particularly have left near the end because I think they're not necessarily more important, but I felt to put them at the end. Taking up your cross gives us an eternal focus rather than an earthly focus. Jesus' focus was always eternal. His focus was always on his Father's will. He knew through his death and resurrection that humanity would be restored back to his Father. And that was his focus, to fulfill the call he had to die on that cross for us. Not my will, but your will be done, Father. His focus was always eternal. We have to do the same thing here. We might be a part of the world, but we don't have to walk in the world. The Bible even talks about us being an alien to the world. We are. But we need to keep our focus on Jesus, not on the things around us. And it's so easy to be caught up in that. It really is. There's so much stuff out there which will consume us, which will take our eyes, our focus off God. But we always have to keep our eyes on our Father. Keep an eternal focus of what we're doing. Even the things in our everyday life can take our focus off God. Our work, our family. My family mean everything to me. Yet, I will always keep my focus on Jesus. Because I know when I do that, I'll be a better dad. I know I'll be a better husband. When I keep my focus on Jesus, I'll work better in my workplace because I'm serving God ultimately, and I want to please him. When I please him, I'll please my workplace. But we must not let the things of this world consume or take away what is rightfully ours. There's so many fears out there which will try and destroy us, or try and pull us back, or try and pull us down. But when we keep an eternal focus, those fears will fall away. Why? Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of sound mind. I had an experience when I was speaking up at my old church once, and I remember quite vividly, the whole thing went okay. And they wanted me to do some prophetic ministry afterwards, and I did that. But something wasn't quite sitting with me at the end of the night, and I went home and I was talking to God about it. And I said, God, it didn't feel quite like it should have tonight. There was something wrong. I could just sense it. And God said, he said, yeah, there was. He didn't put me down, didn't get angry. He said, Mike, don't keep your eyes on the prophetic. Keep your eyes on me. And I realized I was more worried about trying to prove I could do it to the church. And so my eyes were focused on the gift rather than on God. I learned that many years ago. Get the eyes off the gift and keep the eyes on the source of the gift. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes eternally focused. And God will fulfill what God has called you to do. And last but not least, verse 25 says this. When we take up our cross, we will find our life. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses a life for me will find it. If you want to find, ultimately, I believe there's two parts to that. Not just our eternal life, but our life here right now on earth. You want to find out what your life is all about? Then give God everything. Lose your life in Jesus and you will find what God has for you. Take your eyes off yourself. Put your eyes on Jesus and he will show you what he's called you to do. Keep your eyes on Jesus and he will fulfill the call on your life and the gifts he's placed within you. He'll bring them out and allow them to be expressed within your life on an everyday basis. I know sometimes life, like I said before, doesn't always match up like that. Sometimes life looks like it's the exact opposite. What, is this the life you've called me to, God? There were moments in my life, and I said this with you earlier this year, during that period of time when God took me through a pretty tough place, where I thought, God, is this what my life's going to look like for now or forever? It was incredibly hard. But no, it wasn't. God took me through that for a purpose. But the amazing thing is he brought me out the other end because of his grace. And I'm sure for some of you sitting here right now, your life's probably feeling like, what, is this the best my life's going to look like? Is this all it's going to look like? My encouragement is, keep your eyes on Jesus, lose your life into Jesus, and you will find it. God will bring you through that. He will bring you through that. And the really important thing is we must never forget is us as a church to be there so we can hold up your arms and let you get through it. I think, Graham, you're talking about that fairly soon by the sound of it. John 10:10 says the following, the thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says, I come that they may have life and have it to the full. God wants us to have life to the full. That's why it says, lose your life in God and you will find it. He wants us to have life to the full. And God can never, ever speak against his word. It's not within his ability, because it says, my words shall not return unto me void, but will accomplish the plans and purposes for which it was sent. So in conclusion, and I've deliberately kept this sermon short this morning, I felt God say, keep it simple and keep it short. And part of the reason being is this. In that word I just read out to you before, it says this, now is the time to seek me in worship and prayer on your hands and knees. And I said to Graham during the week, I feel I'd love to have some time again to worship and seek God and have an opportunity to respond to God saying, yes, you can have it all. Yes, God, us as a church, we will come before him and say, you can have it all. Because this is your church, God. This is all about your glory and your kingdom. It was interesting, as I was preparing this message, this is about a week ago, I was sitting at my desk. And all of a sudden I saw this picture and it was a door. I'm sure many people have seen pictures like this, two doors are used quite a lot. But as I looked at the door wasn't facing me, it was slightly side on. It was a timber door. All it had was a door frame and it was a solid timber door. But what I noticed was there was no handle and there was no key to it, or key lock, whatever. But the door was closed. And as I looked at it, on one side of the door was LMC, us. On the other side of the door was God's glory. And I said, God, what am I looking at here? Why can't you open the door? And he said, you can open the door, but it doesn't need a key. It needs a response. If you will say, yes, God, you can have it all, then my door will open and my glory will come in. But it requires us in our hearts to make a response. In one sense, you could probably sum up this sermon with one scripture. Though the scripture is used in the context of finances, this applies to any part of our life. Matthew 6, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Is Jesus going to be our treasure this day? Not just this day, but tomorrow, the day after, the day after, the day after. Because if Jesus is our treasure, our heart will be there. And Jesus wants to be our treasure because he has given us everything and wants to give us everything. But we have to make the decision in our own life. Yes, God, you can have it all. Regardless of my circumstances, regardless of how I feel, regardless of maybe how I feel about myself, you can have the whole lot. I heard someone say, this might have been actually Chris, God's not looking for perfection because it'll never happen. He's looking for you right here, right now, exactly where you're at. Never forget that. The enemy will try and steal that from you, but he has no right to, because God wants you right now. So my challenge to you is this, and to us and to me. Will we say to God this day, yes, Father, you can have it all? My prayer is that you will respond to that. I'm not going to share it now because I want to finish up to give time for communion and also some worship. But I've had such a sense, like I said, about that door, that this is quite a pivotal thing, I think, in particular for all of us, maybe for some of you here, though. When you say yes to God, that door will open. And we will see the glory of God come in. And I believe that what we're seeing through Surge, there's going to be more people like that, where God's going to start to use his power and glory through you to bring his kingdom. We want to see God's kingdom here on earth, and we will, because this nation needs to see it. This nation needs to hear the voice of God through us. It just takes us to respond saying, yes, Father, you can have it all. Because you are now Jesus' hand and feet. You are now the voice of Jesus here to your community. We are. And God will empower you through his mercy and grace, through his word, through his Holy Spirit, to fulfill what God's called you to. Will you let God have it all? Let's pray. Father, I pray that this morning what I shared was exactly what you wanted to be said. I pray that, Father, every one of us here would respond to the call this morning of what you're saying. Will we surrender to you unconditionally? Will we surrender to you and say, God, you can have it all? I pray that, Father, as we do, that, Lord, your glory will respond with all its power. That, Father, we'd see the manifestation of your Holy Spirit through our lives each and every day. And that, Lord, we can use that to bring it to our community and to bring it to this nation. Like that prophetic word says, now is the time of salvation for this land. It might look like it's the contrary, but God, you see far more than what we will ever see. Now is the time for salvation. I pray that, God, we would respond and say, yes, God, here we are. And I particularly pray, Father, for those who are struggling, for those who feel they're not worthy, for those who feel they're not capable. I just pray the Holy Spirit come and encourage them and say, yep, I want you. You don't want one person to miss out on what you have for them, Father. Just like the shepherd who left the flock to find that one sheep. God, you want everybody to be on this journey. Everybody here right now, you want everybody to be on this journey. Father, we come and commit our life to you afresh. And I pray that we would all say this morning, yes, God, you can have it all. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.